you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. It has announcements and activities, things that support our worship fellowship mission and learning together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of those questions. So one thing to note in your bulletin about worship today, we are commissioning, yes we are, the junior high work project participants. I will call you forward right at the start of the time with children. So if you will come forward at that time. Two other announcements I have. First, baseball tickets are here. If you ordered them, please see Tracy. Tracy, wave your hand, and she'll get you your tickets. Also, a reminder, coming up, we have our church backyard campout. Whether you are coming just for the evening or the whole entire night, love it if you would sign up on the kiosk, please. And then the next morning, we will be having outdoor worship. Please note that all of the announcements about the backyard camping, none of them say rain or shine. There's a reason for that, because if it is raining, it will be canceled. So if it's looking like rain, we will not have the camp out, and we'll kind of see what the weather brings for outdoor worship the next day. Just please note that. And we'll try to get the word out by Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, contact a friend who does. All right. And now we've got another announcement. I've got a crew of people making an announcement.
Please don't be intimidated by us. We're very nice people. Good morning, everybody. We are members of the 2018 nominating team. It's that time again this year for nominating members of our congregation. That means you, if you haven't served, it's a great thing, to any of our open positions on the boards, which are session, trustees, and deacons. Each one of us up here is involved in the church team. Of course, I'm Barb Snaith. I'm the moderator for deacons, so I'll be looking for a few people for deacons. It's a fun group. Marty Oman is on trustees, also a great group. Kathy Wakeman is looking for session members. Nancy Hasselhoff will be providing youth and reaching out. And our Frona is our official hugger, will help us in finding people for these great committees.
I'm an ad libber, you know that, so what comes out, comes out. But by the gift of God, this is a gift to be able to keep our church going. We need help, especially elders this year. So if you even think you might be interested, maybe it sounds overwhelming, but we work as a crew in all these committees. So seriously think about giving. And guess what? If it doesn't work out for you when you say yes, you're a volunteer and you can walk away with the gift of God. So enjoy this sunny day.
Just to follow up on what Fiona said, I'm not an ad libber, so I will be reading from my notes here. But all of us here have had the joy and satisfaction to serve on these boards currently and in the past. Not only is the work rewarding, but the fellowship is even better. We simply share our love for the church and our life skills as we do our best work for GPC. So we'd love to have you participate, and we'll be reaching out to folks shortly. If you feel that God may be calling you to serve our church as an elder, trustee, or deacon, if you have any questions about serving, please don't hesitate to ask any one of us, and we'll be at the communion table after if anybody has any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, nominating team. And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
please stand if comfortable and able for the call to worship. We worship the God who inhabits our world. We need not look up to find God. We need not listen for a distant thunder to find God. We worship the God who inhabits our world and who dwells in our lives.
Place, let us gather together all that we are and bring to God and one another our prayers of confession. We confess that sometimes we are gatekeepers at the doors of grace, standing on guard, refusing to let those we disapprove of in. in the quiet of this sacred place. We name those whom we have barred from entry. We confess that sometimes we are sentries to ourselves, standing at the open gates of grace, not daring to enter in. In the comfort of this sacred place, we speak our regret at our own self-censorship. We confess there are times when we sit on the fence, staring at the gateway to your reconciling grace, choosing not to go anywhere, not to do anything. In the tranquility of this sacred place, we confess our stuckness and open our hearts to be moved by your Spirit. The gates of grace are always open. God promises us that I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I will not leave you. There is nothing on earth or beyond death that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are reconciled to God. We open up the gates of our hearts and let these words and forgiveness enter in. So at this time, I'm going to invite all the children forward. And I'm going to include with that, I know you don't think of yourselves as kids, but the junior high youth who will be participating on the work project this coming week, and also the advisors. You all would come forward. But work project people here, and kids who are not on work project here, so... But in just a minute, we will have no separation, I promise, because I'm going to make them sit down with us, too. But first, I want you all sitting down to be able to see these great folks. We're missing a few because they're still on vacation and coming back. But these are the youth who are participating on the junior high work project this week. Doesn't that include you? Okay, you need to. There we go. So, work project participants and leaders, is that a fair? Okay. So next week, you're traveling to many places around Rochester as you serve God in mission. You'll go to Trinity Emmanuel to help in their food pantry and distribute fresh produce. You will go to Calvary St. Andrews to help do work at that congregation. You'll host a carnival for the Episcopal Homes Memory Care Unit and make a welcoming home away from home for the people at Harbor House. Every place you serve, you'll represent GPC, show others God's love in the world, and also experience God's love in those places. Will you pledge to be faithful workers, eager and willing to learn from the people you meet? If so, please say, "We will." As you grow vegetables in community gardens, you'll also grow in your friendship with each other. Will you seek to learn from each other, be patient, and be open to God's Spirit as we work together? If so, please say, "We will." Advisors, will you serve with dedication and encouragement, supporting each other as we serve Jesus here in our city If so, please say, yee-haw. There we go. Congregation, will you pray for this great group as we represent Christ's love for the world through Rochester and ask us about our experiences afterwards? If so, please say, yes.
Yes.
Let us pray. God, who journeys with us in all times and places, you are here with us when we praise you here in Gates, and you will be with us when we serve in Rochester. Help this group of youth and adults to find your spirit already hard at work growing your kingdom. May they be filled with your energy and determination, so they may be your humble servants and join in your mission. Open them to the wonders of your love, so they can share your love with the people they meet. May you bless this week of ministry together. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to have youth sit and stay, and adults, you can do whatever you want. If you want to sit, if you want to stay, if you want to go back, whatever. Well, thank you all. See, we are all together in mission here. So I have a few questions, and hopefully you can help me a bit. Has anyone ever experienced God's presence in a place? In a place. Have you experienced what you feel like is God there? Maybe? Yeah? Where was that, Fran? Everywhere you see people high-fiving at school, great example. What about for others? What other kind of places do you feel God there? In hospitals? Yeah, definitely. What about for other people? Grand? In church? There we go. I hope so. Where else? Anyone ever experienced God's presence as you look up and see all the stars at night and think, man, this world is so big, and God is here with us in it? Yes, maybe? Well, how about when you go to the beach? I always feel God's presence at the beach, too. Yeah? No? Kind of. There are all sorts of different kinds of places where we experience God. And in the Bible, we hear today especially the story about a man named Jacob. So Jacob has had a really hard day. He's been fighting with his brother. Anyone else know about fighting with your siblings? Yeah, okay. So it's been a really long day for poor Jacob. They've been fighting, and he actually decides that he needs a little bit of space. And so he goes for a very long journey, so long that it gets dark, and he gets very, very tired. So he decides that he's going to take a nap. And Jacob uses a very unusual thing for a pillow. What is this? A rock. Anybody use a rock as a pillow? Not so much. Me neither. But Jacob uses a rock as a pillow. And when Jacob falls, I know. And when Jacob falls asleep, he has a dream. He has a dream about God. And when Jacob wakes up, he decides that he's going to take his rock pillow, not rock pet, but rock pillow, and he is going to mark that place as a place where he experienced God. And he does so with the rocks. He takes the rocks, puts them one on top of the other to remember that God was in this place. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Maybe a little bit? There's a word for this. When you ask special. Those of us who like things in order, it's good. This is called a carib. And it has the history and tradition of marking the places, special places, where we believe we experienced God's presence. So in this upcoming week, especially the junior high youth, as you are in various places serving God, and if in one of those moments you really feel God's presence, you to look around. Look at the ground. See if you can find a rock sitting by. And take that rock and set it right near the spot where you experienced God's presence as a way to remember that God is always with you. And if you're ever out hiking, or sometimes at the beach and in different places, you might see something like this, a cairn that is also a reminder that God's presence is here. Can you pray with me? Dear God, in all the places of this world, you are with us. Help us remember. Amen. All right, thanks for all your help, and especially the big kids. I know you think you've gotten too old, but I appreciate you being here today. All right, so you can go back and sit with your parents or grandparents, whoever you came back with.
First reading of the word comes from Romans 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the future sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, none of its own will be, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that it is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? Thank you.
second reading of the word today comes from Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put under his head and lay it down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and all of the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head, set it up for a pillar, poured oil on top of it, and he called the place Bethel. The name of the city was Luz at the first. And then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. Last summer, Matt, the girls, and I went to visit my aunt and her family in this small town of Alvinston, Ontario, in Canada. It's a rural farm community about 45 minutes outside of Sarnia, and it's where my mom and her two sisters grew up. I barely remember, but I was probably just a little bit older than Lily when, before my grandfather died, he drove me around on the country roads to show me where the first Campbell family homestead stood. He showed me where he grew up, where he went to school, the post office, and the cemetery where my great-great-grandparents and eventually he would be buried. Now, the girls cared about this little tour probably as much as I did at that age. But when my aunt took us to see the cairn, or that stack of stones, which is a traditional Scottish marking place for somewhere that is special, I paused for a moment. There's a plaque on the cairn. All these stones are held together by concrete now. And the plaque tells the story of how in 1831, Duncan the Laird Campbell, his wife, Euphemia, and their three children, Jeanette, Donald, and Peter, immigrated to Canada from Argyllshire, Scotland. And when they arrived in the fall of that year, they erected a log cabin in the spot that would later become the family homestead. And 150 years later, the homestead is gone, but the descendants of Euphemia and Laird, as he was known, brought rocks to build the cairn and remember this place. And this is the most amount of connection and meaning that I really have to a place, a history. And that connection is tangential at best, really, given that I never really lived there or have clear memories of it. But if I could talk to them now, I imagine that my great-great-grandparents' story about the land was similar to most colonial settlers of the time. Those stories of hardship in their homeland mixed and misplaced with Christian theologies of ownership of the land to claim God's sovereignty over all the earth. That notion is actually directly tied to the verse from Genesis we read, "And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and east and north and south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring." But formed from that with a sense of responsibility and duty that to bring divine order to the world, one must conquer it. As a result, we have centuries of commodifying, territorializing, privatizing, and binding space with gates and borders. And then new meanings are projected onto space disconnected from native persons and vegetation and creatures that were displaced or destroyed. And in many ways, people of faith throughout the world today still grip tightly, often violently, to these notions of ownership of land, to disregard the land altogether, or to view the land as unimportant, really just a holding place where we await salvation. I believe that God deeply cares about place and provides for God's people ways that we can learn of a God who locates God's self in the land and the people together. God does this so that we can be blessings and witnesses of God's grace in the land without oppression or violence toward the land or people. Our story for this morning, and in fact, much of the Bible, tells the story over and over about God's presence in place. God who makes place as sites of divine meeting, where the divine touch surprises us and enfolds us in God's own journey with each of us. But Jacob hasn't quite made those connections yet. As I shared with the children, Jacob, if you remember in the verses and chapters previous, he's a young man on the run. He was banished from his own home and family because of deception and deceit. Jacob was never a man of the land. That was his twin, Esau. The two who struggled in Rebekah's womb, and Jacob with his hand gripping tightly to his brother's heel, would go on then, of course, with his mother, pull off one of the most appalling scams of the Bible imaginable. And so fresh from this deceit and under the threat of murder from his brother, Jacob, he takes off. And the emotional and physical toll of the day are wearing him down. Jacob looks for a place to rest. There between Beersheba and Haran, he takes that rock as a pillow. While in a dream state, the place and God reveal themselves to him. A place where heaven touches the earth. A place of intersection where God speaks to Jacob of his history and his future. A place marking the awesome abundance and openness of God's welcome and care. A place of promise that is as sure as God's presence with him in that dream. A place where God will always come between Jacob, his descendants, and the land, guiding and directing their life with the dust and the sky and all of creation. But we can't talk about this text without recognizing that struggle of the biblical account and our connections, our own connections and history to the violence of the land. Of violence, yes, I know, we can easily brush aside, dismiss, and choose to ignore. But friends, this is also not the story of our faith. God does not do this. I'm captivated by how William James Jennings talks about this. He says that ultimately violence finds its final local place in God's own body. The cross is the end of violence in the land. Raised on a cross from the earth is violence's own end. Violence is no longer an option for God's people who wish to live in the land and in the will of God. Only God can handle violence, and in Jesus, God has gathered all of it up. The violence, the power, its seduction, its belief working in us to convince us that it can make things new. But we know that only God make all things new, and God has chosen to do so in the land and in places both special and mundane. Place, then, is not evacuated of violence by turning it into nondescript, commodified, exchangeable places. Place is released from violence only when we hear God speaking to us in these places, inviting us to dream of place at the intersection of heaven and earth and calling us to life together in peace with those who are among us. So what does such dreaming of and with place look like for God's people today? That spiritual task might seem a bit overwhelming. Like, where do we even begin to dream with God of God's presence in place? Do we all need to grab one of the rocks and place it on our beds as a pillow? Or perhaps we start by looking at those gates or openings that give us glimpses to where heaven meets the earth. And yes, those places occur in the beauty of the sunset, over the lake, and the brightness of a rainbow after a summer storm. It may happen here in church, or as one of our young people spoke, in hospitals, in places where we serve together. Because ultimately, they happen in relationships with people, especially those who are different from us. When we leave our comfort zones and we become open to being impacted by someone else's reality and dreams and fears of place. Standing back in front of the Campbell Karen, I wondered aloud with my family, who might have lived in that place before Laird and Euphemia and their children did. And this set us off on a journey of sorts to learn about the First Nations people in the area, the Chippewa and Oneida and Munsee, Delaware people. No one's quite sure when the first persons migrated from their home on the Atlantic coastal plain over 11,000 years ago. But from knowing our own nation's painful history, it's safe to say that it happened long before the European settlers arrived. And I asked my mom about it and my aunt about the nearby First Nations Reserve, or reservation as we call them here. And despite the fact that she dated a boy who lived on the reserve when she was in high school, she said to me, that's just not something our generation talked about. But learning about and hearing the stories about place, whether rural farmland in Canada or our own city here in Rochester, the suburbs where we are, it can be challenging. Every now and then, if you're lucky, there might be a sign that'll give you some indication. But even without the signs, it's challenging when we have to divest ourselves of our privilege, confronting the paralyzing shame that we might feel when we think about these stories of oppression and violence and racism and colonialism. For us sometimes to sit with that pain of place and people without trying to fix it. And that's when we learn to relinquish the need to control the dreams of others, to move into, rather recoil from, the anger and the fear and the violence of our past that continues to live out in the people and land today. Dreaming, it is challenging and is about as uncomfortable as a rock, as a pillow. But friends, here in this place is the mutual indwelling of God. May it be so now always.
Kathy Wakeman. I'd like to ask for prayers for everybody in this congregation who has family that is ill and who are dealing with all the things that go with that.
And I know John couldn't say it, but I'll raise a prayer for John's sister who is dying, for John and his entire family.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mike. I've got two or three general admission tickets for the Symetra Tour golf tournament this week in Brooklyn. If anybody would like one, just see me after the service. Thanks.
So that's a joy. We'll take that. Leisure time is joy. Any other prayers for joy or concern today?
Well, I had a good 4th of July reunion. 130 members of my family showed up, and from all over the United States, and I was just thinking, I guess we're buried all over the United States. We're really a spread out family. Summit Presbyterian Church in Butler, and four or five of the kids. We really are a spread out family. We spread the word of God all over the country.
Thank you,
all
Wendell.
All over the world, really. We had a couple of missionaries. Thank
prayers
you.
Prayers of joy for family gathered together.
Hi, Jack Beattie. Just a joy. We had two of our young grandsons with us for a whole week last week, and we had a lot of fun. I think it made us younger just having them with us. And another joy, our son made a business trip to India, and he safely went all the way to India, to Calcutta, and Bangalore, and then back home. So we're really happy that he made it okay.
There's a joy for safe travels and fun grandchildren. Let us continue our time of prayer together. Great God, loving Savior, ground of our being, grant us thankful hearts this day for the gift of life itself, for the gift of new life, the gift of community, of faith, for the beauty of this world, for the opportunity of summer, for family, for friends. Help us, even if only for a moment, to truly lift up our hearts, to imagine ourselves doing that, lifting up our hearts and turning them toward you, and soften the many hard places and open us to the love you have for each one of us. We pray this day for the places and the people in our lives and in our world where despair reigns unchallenged. For those who live in lands of want for basics, hope and happiness, joy and justice, water and food. We pray for those who live in lands of violence and warfare, for soldiers who fight, for families who pray for their safe return, for leaders with complex decisions to make, and leaders whose hearts are hardened against the suffering around them. Let us be bold enough to dream of the unthinkable, to dream of the day when kindness is complete, justice is uncompromised, grief is ended and joy abounds. As we go about laboring for such a dream, give us the grace to live kindly, justly, and truthfully. Send us all out this day, O God, with childlike audacity, the audacity of the young to believe that anything can be, to live believing. We are so bold to pray such a prayer. Pray in the name of the one who came that all might have hope. And together we pray the words he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to deliver us from evil.
power, and the glory forever.
With joyful hearts, let us give and receive this morning's offering.
Also help our world neighbors. Help us to remember that we are all in this together. Amen.
Thank you.
of your day and week and experience the goodness and the grace of God's love. May that surround you, and may you be filled with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Holy Spirit give the courage you need to get up each day to do it again. Hallelujah.